Podcast 92, Jesus and the Trinity. The Gospel reading for this podcast is John chapter 14, verses 23 to 29. In the next few weeks, we have a whole lot of events packed into the church year. Next Thursday is the Feast of the Ascension. The first Sunday in June is the day of Pentecost, and the second Sunday in June is Trinity Sunday, our church's name day. So there are some of the significant markers of the church year happening in the next couple of weeks. But today's gospel reading is a kind of a flashback, taking us back to Jesus speaking to his disciples just before his crucifixion. First of all, Jesus makes a comment about the relationship between the disciples who love him and how that love is reciprocated by God the Father. Then Jesus goes on to speak about the teaching role of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit will be their teacher when he has left the disciples, that the Holy Spirit will have an enabling role that will help them to remember the things Jesus has taught them and, by implication from verse 23, to put this teaching into practice. Then Jesus reassures them and confirms his peace upon them. Finally, he reminds them that he is going to the Father, and that the Father is greater than him, which is a reason the disciples should be glad that Jesus is leaving them. So in this relatively short passage, we have an exemplar of the way the doctrine of the Holy Trinity is woven through Scripture. And of course, Trinity Sunday is not far away, but it's useful to remind ourselves about a few basics of the Trinity. Firstly, the actual word Trinity does not appear anywhere in Scripture, in either the New Testament or the Old Testament. The arguments about the nature of God, which ended in the formation of the doctrine of the Trinity, don't surface in the church until around 300 AD. The controversy about the nature of God, known as the Arian controversy, which involved the theology of the Trinity, is part of the reason for the formulation of the Nicene Creed at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. Without going into all the detail, the doctrine of the Trinity was finally resolved and finalized at the Council of Constantinople in 381 AD. And the essence of the Trinity is expressed in many ways. One is a medieval drawing that shows that God the Father is God, but he is not the Son person as Jesus. God the Son is God, but he is not the same person as the Holy Spirit. They are all God, but they are three separate persons. And there is no hierarchy in this arrangement. No one person of the Godhead is superior to any of the others. Another simple illustration of the Trinity can be seen in a candelabra with three candles. The candles themselves are separate, but they are all held in unity in the same candelabra. So this passage is an illustration of how the doctrine of the Trinity can be rightly drawn from Scripture. It is not an abstract concept dreamt up by theologians, but this is expounded by Jesus himself in this intimate conversation with his disciples on the eve of his crucifixion. Jesus embodies the Trinity in this passage with the links between himself, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. Another element from this passage which struck me was the presence of the Holy Spirit in the role of teacher and reminder. This is something I'd not thought about very much before. A good teacher can make such a difference in people's lives. I'm sure we can all remember teachers who were inspirational and that we remember with affection many years after being in their class. Most people know Emily Blunt as a Golden Globe nominated film and stage actress. My favourite movie of hers is her recent role of Mary Poppins in the movie Mary Poppins Returns. However, between the ages of 7 and 14, Emily developed a crippling stutter that had her struggling to even hold a simple conversation. "I was a smart kid and had a lot to say, but I just couldn't say it," she said in an interview for W magazine. "I never thought I'd be able to sit and talk to someone, like I'm talking to you right now. For Blunt, it was one junior high school teacher in particular that helped her overcome her fear of speaking by encouraging her to try out for the school play. At first, Blunt resisted the idea, but the teacher wouldn't give up on her and coaxed her to take acting lessons and experiment with different accents and character voices to help her express herself. And in the end, those efforts paid off immensely. In addition to her successful career as an actress, she has also become a member of the board of directors for the American Institute for Stuttering. And of course, we also have the example from the movie The King's Speech of someone stuttering and being coached through it by a wonderful teacher. So they're examples of the difference a really good teacher can make in someone's life. One of the profound moments in this passage comes in verse 27, where Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Peace is a commodity we sorely need in our world in these days, and is absent for far too many. But into this discourse about going away, Jesus reassures the disciples, who are rightly feeling fearful about his departure, that they will not be left alone, and he bestows his peace upon them. However, note that he gives them peace. This is not a wish, this is a gift. And it's a gift of profound importance at this moment in the journey of Jesus and the disciples. He must have known the turmoil they would face when he was gone, and he does what he can to prepare them for the next part of this faith journey. Peace is an important element all through John's Gospel, along with love that has been examined in the previous week's lectionary readings. And like love, peace is a mark of true discipleship that is required of all the disciples, both then and now. And this peace is not a passive peace. It's an active working out of peace in multiple situations. The Spirit and peace will propel the disciples, and later the church, into active discipleship and mission. The presence of this peace reminds me of one of my favorite quotes in life: "Breathe in peace, breathe out love." It is with the presence of this peace, given by God in Jesus' name, which enables the disciples then and now to live lives of faithfulness. And I saw a poster recently, I really liked this quote from it: "Peace is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of God, no matter what the conflict." So what are the lessons we can draw from this passage of Scripture, the takeaways for us today? I think there are three. Firstly, Scripture provides and supports the doctrine of the Trinity. The Trinity is woven through the Gospels. Secondly, the Holy Spirit can be our teacher and reminder. If we listen, we can hear him through the day, calling to mind the things Jesus said, the right word for our right moment. And thirdly and finally, Jesus wants us all to have the gift of peace, and you can ask him for that gift whenever you need it.